Hello, everyone. Welcome to the post-show, patrons. Appreciate the support. I don't know where to start. We almost died again today.
Yeah.
That is kind of just the way it goes.
Thought we were dead. I was like, there's no way we're surviving this, but somehow we pulled it out of our ass.
I had hope. I felt bad for over there, too, because I did the Radiant. I don't even remember what it's called.
Radiant Soul?
Radiant Soul, yeah. I wanted to try that now, especially it seemed like a good thing to do because they were only way they really were to be able to attack you was on the ground. So I figured I'd pop up and do some damage from below.
Yeah.
And like break down, do a little attack and go kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I went up 40 feet instead of 20.
Hey, man, I mean, that's how you learn.
Man, it's your first day with wings.
Yeah.
Exactly. I really wish those abilities were bonus actions. They're so hard to.
Yeah, they really are hard to work in there.
I think the thing is, you're supposed to use them like at the beginning of combat because they last 10 rounds.
When initiative happens, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like initiative, pop your wings, go into the fight. Because
it still ended up being a benefit, though, in that fight because I was able to not take damage as much and still able to. I did some damage from above with the dart. And also that extra 3 damage for Radiant ended up finishing off, I think, 1 or 2.
The extra 3 damage is not a small thing. Like, it's 30 additional damage over the course of the whole effect.
Yeah.
And 3 at a time is not, it's nothing to laugh at, right? Like, it's pretty good.
Could have played it a little bit better, but I was still happy about using it. I don't think I regret using it.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like mine is more melee focus. Like, it doesn't for reference, mine does let me open it up. Mine is 10 feet. You must succeed on charisma checks for everyone around me, which is a 13 or higher. They become frightened until the end of the next turn. It lasts 1 minute and it deals necrotic damage once on each turn equal to the level for everyone in 10 feet around me. So like, I basically have to fucking invis into the middle of everyone, pop it, and then get the fuck out of there for it to be useful.
Frightened. Let me just
frightened see. Just gives people disadvantage on attacks and they won't approach me to attack.
Yeah, can't willingly move closer to the source of fear.
So that's kind of big because then I could like get in there, do it, and then run.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not like turn undead where they have to move away from you, but they can't move any closer.
Yeah, so that might be kind of fun to mess around with at the beginning of every like big, large fight.
Yeah,
if I did that and then. What's it called? I wouldn't even have to invis because they'd already have disadvantage against me. So I could just invis in, do that, and then just walk away or something.
Yeah, I think invisibility and blindness are basically like the biggest disconnection between mechanic and fiction that I can think of in D&D.
Yeah.
It used to be, if something is invisible, you can't see it.
Right.
You can't attack shit you can't see. You could flail around if it's in melee, but you know, you're guessing based on where it was.
Right.
But in this, if you're blind, you have the same disadvantage as if you're firing slightly past short range. Or like, you know, like the disadvantage doesn't feel like enough of a penalty in that case.
Yeah. Right?
It's such a weird thing.
Invis in 2E, I think Invis was actually a third level spell, not even a second level spell, right? Because it was so strong.
Invisibility in any game that treats it like you can't see the person anymore is really powerful. It's also hard to balance mechanically.
Yeah.
Which is silly. Like, I think in earlier versions of D&D, it was like a -8 to hit something if you were blind. It's a tough thing to try to, and I get why it's badly managed in D&D because it's very hard to make it feel balanced, but still it's really hard as a player to be like, I'm fucking invisible. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, disadvantage.
Yeah. We used a lot. And what does haste do in 5e?
I think that it gives
Let's
you.
Let's see. I'll
it used to give you like extra stuff, like a bunch of extra attacks. It gives you +2 bonus to AC, advantage on all your dex saves, an additional action on each turn, which is pretty dope.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's concentration up to 1 minute.
And target speed's double. Did you say that?
Yes. Yeah. That's also a thing. So if you cast it on, a person, at the beginning of combat and don't get hit, that's 10 turns of additional attacks, dash, disengage, hide, or use an object.
Yeah.
So you could be like bonus attacks. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it used to. I feel like in earlier editions, it used to let you like cast two spells in one turn.
You could do. I had it in the second edition campaign, and you did like crazy shit.
Yeah,
it was really strong, and it was a lot of fun to use. But the character died shortly after, so.
That kind of stuff is always really tricky to balance around the combination of like being a narratively powerful like wizard and then the fact that you're playing a game. And I think that second edition struggled with it wanted to be both. It wanted to be like, but you can use your imagination and the spells that you do, what they make sense doing. Invisibility turns you invisible. But all the mechanical shit about playing the game runs counter to that. So it's tough. Fifth edition is a lot duller in a lot of ways because of it, especially in regards to magic. But it's also better balanced, right? It's more fair to everybody. So it's, you gotta trade one for the other when you make a game. So
yeah, yep, I agree. Dan, you had a lot of fun today on your paladin doing a shit ton of damage.
Some serious damage.
I was killing shit left and right. I didn't miss once today, which was like shocking. I didn't miss one attack roll, which is like that's what helped because of great weapon, the perk great weapon fighting, like my minimum damage is usually at least 9 or 10. I was often rolling high damage too. So I was just one-shotting things left and right, and it felt really good.
It was good when you one-shot shit.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with it, obviously, because I'm not just going to like kill the character, but the one thing that I'm starting to remember about Warlocks that I forgot is like it's so Eldritch Blast. Like that's... And it's not any different from like a warrior, right? Like warrior, you attack, a paladin attack, but everything else sucks. But like you have low HP, you have low armor.
Like, yeah, it just feels
restricted in that sense.
Yeah. I think multiclassing can help that if you just want to like dip something else for some variability. Like
there's definitely a melee version of the warlock class that I would have to create a new character for where you go like, two warlock, one fighter, and it's like okay, it's all right, but because then you can wear more than I think you wear like medium armor or something. You get your AC bump basically from that, as well as a little bit of an HP bump. But I don't know. It's pretty Eldritch Blast right now.
Which isn't the worst.
I'm gonna stick with it, but we'll see what happens.
That's sort of what how it was with me with the cleric, just sacred flame over and over again.
I think it's kind of weird. It's
at this level, we have so few spells.
Yeah,
you mentioned too that it's just like it's no different with a fighter. You know, you just attack. I mean, I think the difference is you can attack with different like melee weapons. That's your like kind of variety. And when it comes to spells and stuff, when you're casting a spell, I feel like there's a need to like cast other spells. You're like, well, I could be casting all these other spells, but instead I'm just like limited to Eldritch Blast. So it just feels like you said a lot more restrictive rather than just like if you're a fighter dealing melee damage.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of the same thing, but it just feels like it's more annoying.
Level 5 will definitely open up the class a lot, I think, but
yeah.
It's a lot of damage when it hits though.
The thing with a fighter is like, I don't know a lot of people who play like really. There's you have a melee weapon and a missile weapon, usually like a longbow and a sword.
Yeah.
Maybe you have like a greatsword and a sword and a shield, but there isn't a ton of like weapon swapping.
Because your top weapon, the one that does the most damage, is going to be the one that you use. The only reason I'm using multiple melee is because I'm a monk and I do unarmed.
It used to be more like the weapon, like there are earlier versions of D&D where the weapon you're using would be more or less effective depending on the armor that they're wearing.
Yeah.
So like a piercing weapon is better against chainmail, but a slashing weapon is not as good against chainmail. Like that kind of stuff would matter. But D&D just isn't that game anymore. So it's just pick the best weapon for melee. That's what you have. Like like we were talking about skeletons before, right? Like skeletons used to be it would be really hard to hurt them with a spear or a sword. So you'd carry around a mace to bash up the skeletons in case.
Yeah.
But that's not really the case with the monsters anymore. So as a fighter, you are really just like melee or missile attacking over and over.
And I think the only thing that we've seen the benefit to having multiple weapons like that and carrying those extra weapons that don't necessarily deal out as much damage is when you encounter, say, like that rust monster.
One
of your weapons and you're like, well, I have another one. So.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's really just you.
And at higher levels, when you have multiple magic items, when you have like a +1 sword and a +2 mace versus undead, you'd want to carry around both. But
yeah,
mm-hmm. at the beginning of the game, early on, there's just no real reason to do that. And I mean, that's how it goes with D&D, right? You'll get, your characters will expand out, have more and more options as you go.
Sure, sure. The other thing that's kind of cool about Warlock, in the sense of, if you're getting bored with the class, every time you level, you can just change all your spells. Like, you don't have to keep any of them. Yeah. You just get new spells.
It's pretty cool.
Which is, like, I think I'll probably start using Armor of Agathys more, because it's 10 extra HP for the rest of the fight, basically.
That's nice.
That's just free.
Last 8 hours, too, which is great.
Yeah. Just maybe, like, I guess I could use that before a short rest, and then I have, like, full spell slots going into the next 7 hours or something like that. If I have spell slots left, like, I just need to get mechanically smarter about using the different spells. And so
if the fight's going south, you could potentially using that spell, like, tank up
if we need it. Yeah, yeah. And, like, hold person, it sounds like such a good spell, but it doesn't seem that strong. Like, it seems kind of crap in this version.
That kind of stuff is so hit and miss now. And we talked about this before about hold person. It's all hit and miss, because they save every round. Like, it used to be, you failed your blindness save? Well, you're blind until you get a spell cast on you to unblind you. Shit is so impermanent in 5e that, like, hold person is like, at worst, they're not going to get hit at all. And at best, you know, their save is going to get them eventually. It's 50-50 most of the time.
Right.
So it can be useful if luck is on your side, but it isn't always.
Yeah. I'll probably look at some other spells, because we're not anywhere close to level 4, but we're getting there. I think we're at, like, what, 1,300 XP or something like that, which is decent.
Yeah,
for two sessions in. But yeah, Warlocks get open up to, or they get some more spells at, different spells rather, at level 2 that might be a little bit fun. Like Enthrall would be kind of fun to mess around with, and Ray of Enfeeblement would probably be pretty fun to mess with.
Yeah.
I would never have any use for spider climb unless I just want to be a creepy fuck. Where I just, like, jump up on the fucking wall and fly around. Or
well, especially in this fight, too, like, when it's just, like, right out in the open.
Yeah. Maybe
in the dungeons down below.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we can talk. I don't know how much detail we want to go into, just to save it for the next, like, show, but, I mean, two storylines are about to collide.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll see how I'm interested in how you deal with that, because me and Dan just deal with that as our characters. You deal with your character on both sides.
I'm pretty much going to be playing two characters.
I need to update that overlay for at least one episode, so it says Volnak/Berg.
Yeah. I'm excited. I think it'll be fun. Especially if that's true. The two of them end up talking to each other.
I want you to fight with yourself. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, you get to be a DM, basically.
Say welcome to DMing. Yeah. Everybody's just gonna want you to talk to yourself. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I didn't know Cloud of Daggers is actually a really good spell. Why didn't I take that, Adam? I'm an idiot.
I mean, it sounds pretty cool. It's a cloud of daggers.
You fill the air with spinning daggers in a cube 5 feet on each side, centered on a point you choose within range. A creature takes 44 slashing damage when it enters the spell area for the first time on a turn or starts its turn there. When you cast a spell using a spell slot of third level or higher, the damage increases by 2d4 for each spell slot above second.
The damage is good, but it's a 5 foot by 5. It's not one big, square.
Yeah.
Adam would just walk around it.
Yeah, you just walk around that shit.
Yeah, but I mean, it's right? It's 44 damage. Like, that's a pretty good amount.
Yeah, I mean, the only way that spell would ever be useful is if you're in a hallway.
When we're in that corridor, yeah.
And you cast it to cut someone off, because if you throw up the barrier in front of you and there's people coming towards you, unless they're, like, rabid or mindless, they would just be like, whoa, Wall of Swords. I'm going to not run into that.
Yeah.
So it's high damage, but very situational.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's the case with a lot of spells, right? It's like...
Yeah, yeah. Crown of Madness would be pretty fun. It's basically like a charm, but it's a wisdom saving throw. My wisdom is fucking shit. So it'd be like, I think it's like a 13, I think, on a
save. It's a wisdom save for them. It's not based on your wisdom. It's based on your
spell. Oh, okay.
It's 8 plus your proficiency mod plus your spellcasting modifier.
Right, yeah, 13, I think.
Average for a first to fifth level character.
It's normal. Yeah, it's not bad. Max, I think you did the most learning this episode with Monk. I feel like both, maybe not Barbarian, but I feel like Monk is one of the most, at least to start, like you're greeted with so much stuff, especially level three, that there's so many things where you have to like remember each and every fucking thing you do that you can do with something a little bit extra with that.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I played one on West Marches, I was the exact same way. I was forgetting things every fucking time. Well, when you have so many options.
Like I said before in Pathfinder, but this was also a while ago. I haven't played that character in a long fucking time. And since that character that I've played a lot of different other kind of characters. So it, like once you character hop, and since a bunch of them have died, like it's been a long fucking time since I played Monk, and compound that with the fact that we're, you know, these angelic beings that have something like this radial, I always forget the name of it. My brain's not working very well today.
Radiant soul.
Radiant soul. Yeah, exactly. Like I was saying, that was the first time I've used that. I wanted to use it because it seemed like an opportune time, but there's things about it, you know, like the whole like flight thing and not knowing exactly how to use it as effective as maybe somebody who's a little more seasoned with that ability or just D&D in general. But, yeah,
that's true.
There's a lot of stuff with Monk to remember when you factor in the key points and all that shit.
And your flurry of blows is so powerful at this level. Those extra attacks can mean that if they hit, mean the difference of something dead or alive.
Yeah. Especially
in the knock prone thing as well.
Yeah. It's the worst fucking feeling though when I double fail like I did earlier.
Yeah. So annoying.
Like, that's a key point gone. Did nothing.
Yeah. You spent the point. That's a third of your resource toast. So.
Yeah. Can isn't there a mechanic later on down the monk tree where you start to get key points back or something like that?
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I remember I really liked Monk when I played it because I played the Path of the Fist. Is that I think is what
Open
you
hand.
Are? Open Hand. Yeah, I played the same thing, and you had like you just walk into a fight and could do so much damage right at the start that it was super. What are the three things you can use a key point for? You can use it to dodge,
disengage. Yeah, dodge or disengage. It's like
is it dodge, disengage, and then extra attack?
There's three things now. There's flurry of blows, which is the two attacks. Patient defense, which gives you the dodge action, and there's step of the wind, which is disengage or dash. It also doubles your jump distance.
Okay, I think that's what I used. I'm trying to remember because there was a huge heavy storyline thing where like the monk class came into play, and I was able to do a ton of shit in one round, and I think it was just using all the fucking key points. To do like stupid shit like that, but
yeah
I don't know, it'll be fun. Question for Adam, are you going to let Berg and Volnak fight in the same fight?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it just means there'll be more monsters and less XP for everybody, but yeah,
that's fine. Okay, I mean, I guess that's something for Max to decide. Like, I don't know how story wise we could just walk in there and you're like, well, gotta go.
Yeah,
exactly. And your character just fucking walks on out of the dungeon.
Yeah,
I think what'll end up happening is that Volnak and Berg will coexist until one or both of them are dead, or until you leave the dungeon and the kind of current mission is over, and then Berg can be like, "Well, my fellows are dead. I'm gonna leave." Or Volnak can be like, "I did my mission. I'm going back to heaven. See you later. I'm gonna go paint."
Yeah, I'm gonna go paint.
There's a lot of shit because like you can grab the ring. On Berg now, the fucking ring's just hanging out. Or I guess it's on Gideon's body.
Yeah. You can epilogue Berg if you want to, or Volnak. We can talk about that once we get there, but I'm fine with you playing both characters till the dungeon is done. I mean, this is one of them.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. It'll be a little more on me to just try to be like, okay, I'm Berg now. All right, I'm Volnak.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing. People often balk at the idea of like, oh, what do you mean you're letting your players play more than one character? But like, I play more than one character constantly.
I don't think that would be that.
The GM does it all the time. So the game I just balance around it for the encounters and we're good to go.
Yeah.
It'll just be me switching from the Volnak voice to Berg voice.
Yeah. Just wait until you do the wrong accent. You try to say something as Volnak and you use the Berg voice.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of fighting coming up, that's for sure, in the dungeon. Yeah. Like, we're going to be, I think next episode is going to be a shit ton of fighting.
Yeah.
And the episode after that will probably be, like, the big fight.
Yeah, our first, like, big boss fight of the show. Like,
yeah,
major storyline boss fight.
Yeah.
If we survive,
If we get there.
Yeah, we got to get there first.
We all die.
It's very true. It's very true. Yeah. We also don't have the healing capacity that we did earlier. So hopefully our dumbasses don't decide to fight four fights in a row.
Well, what's interesting is it's going to get real crowded in there because you've got Azure Vortex too.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about her.
God, I forgot about her.
So wait, we have...
The party's going to go from 3 to 6.
3 to 6, yeah.
Which means the difficulty will go up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have some major fucking fights next episode. That'll be fun.
We'll have a lot of people that can attack, so that's neat.
Yeah. A lot of different... I'm actually excited for that. It's going to have a lot of scenarios now.
Six people in an enclosed space versus all the bad shit the Rock Gnome King has to throw at you.
Yeah, and like the guy said earlier, he commands so many legions of...
Yeah, he's the freaking Rock Gnome King. He's the best.
Yeah. That's going to be a lot of mobs. Just a lot of... Like, fights are going to take a while. It might have to be 3 episodes.
Rock Gnome dude just, like, talk about this clearly, like, this propaganda that's been spit at him about the Rock Gnome King.
Right. Yeah. We'll see. And then whenever we finish with that, we'll have... Probably an episode or so with just us, and then we'll get a new cast member. Well, I don't know who it's going to be yet. I haven't started thinking about that, so I need to start. Talk with Adam, talk with you guys. So that's all to come. I think we're going to get out of here, though. Max, you're streaming, right?
I was going to, but I think I might just chill. It's already almost like 9 here, and if I am coming down with something, I might as well just chill and drink something.
Yeah, I want to get rid of this cold so bad, so I just have fucking... energy to do things.
That's what I'm saying. When you're fighting something, your body's fighting something, you're just so lack of energy. Like I said before the show, like I just wanted to fucking sleep. But I got up, shower, you know, try to rejuvenate myself.
Yep. Well, we'll get out of here because I know Adam's feeling pretty rough too. So
everybody feel better if you're feeling shitty.
Cool. Dungeons and Dragons gives me life.
There you go.
Power of Satan's game.
And in some cases, it gives me death. Most cases.
Yeah, exactly. That'll do it, though. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Of course, for supporting here on Patreon. We'll see you guys next week for more Court of Swords on Tuesday at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern. That's it. Well, bye-bye.
Hey, everybody.